The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Pre-order at Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Portions of this edition of the Don Kroah Show were pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
Live from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios, it's the Don Kroah Show on 105.1 FM WAVA.
The Don Kroah Show is brought to you in part by Passport Auto Group Stores. As an essential business during COVID-19, Passport is ready to meet your car buying or servicing needs and do it with complete safety and security from one of their 9 convenient locations. Whether it's a video walkthrough of a vehicle you're interested in or purchasing a vehicle either online or in the comfort and safety of your own home, check out the superb services waiting for you at PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com. Hello there, folks. Welcome to another hour of the Don Kroah Show. We get together Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 each afternoon. Always a whole lot more fun when you're here with us, so glad you're aboard. So often the news we hear, report, discuss with our friends at 21 Wilberforce has to do with, understandably, the deep concern over serious abridgment and often outright denial of human rights and religious freedoms around the world, and rightly so, as it is a scourge that continues to bring suffering and even death to untold millions of people around the globe. So it's something we ought to talk about and do something about, and we work together to that end. However, as my guest this hour joins me, he shared with us that there's some good things happening in this ongoing battle. And there are ways in which we can all be a part of helping these new ideas, these new programs, really flourish. Joining us to explain what I'm talking about, Nathan Weiniger. He's the Director of Policy and Coalitions for 21 Wilberforce. By the way, two websites for you, 21 Wilberforce, 21wilberforce.org, and another one, irfroundtable.org. Nathan, always good to talk with you. What are we talking about with this latest development?
Well, thank you for having me so much, Don. This latest development is over the past year, an organization, many organizations have come together forming something called the International Religious Freedom Roundtable. Now, the roundtable here in this country has existed for about 10 years, but the development in the past year has been that we're starting new roundtables around the world. To date, we have 29 roundtables and affiliated networks, and these are really amazing because they bring together people of any faith and no faith to work together on religious freedom in countries where it is a real challenge. 21 Wilberforce is a Christian organization, and we get together on a regular basis to meet and discuss the issues and opportunities for action. And now we're taking that model around the world. 21 Wilberforce was very pleased to launch the first religious freedom roundtable abroad in Nigeria, which we have talked about many times. And now there are 28 others. So it's a great opportunity for civil society leaders, religious leaders, and people who care about this issue to come together, recognize the issues that they share in common across different beliefs, the denial of religious freedom specifically, and then take coordinated action to confront those challenges.
So in other words, it doesn't just involve people of the Christian faith, but other religious groups as well who are willing to sit down and talk?
Exactly. And what's amazing about this is that you oftentimes have opportunities where you bring up a Christian issue and people from different beliefs will come and support that issue that Christians have raised. We've done the same thing with other members of different faiths. You know, as I mentioned, we've done a lot of work on Nigeria and many Christians suffer there tremendously. Just recently, we found out about a prisoner of conscience That's someone who's arrested simply because of what they believe in Nigeria. That prisoner of conscience, unlike Leah Shirabu, who many of your listeners know about, who's a Christian, this one is a secularist. And some secular groups were working to try and raise his profile and get him released. And 21 Wilberforce was able to get together with other Christian NGOs that we know from the Religious Freedom Roundtable. And we were able to send a letter to Secretary Pompeo saying, we as Christians don't believe that this man should be in prison simply because of what he believes. Our Christian faith teaches us to work for justice for our neighbors, and we were able to do that through this mechanism.
And that's so important to close that gap, because I think too many of us, perhaps as Americans, assume that every other person of another faith really doesn't want to work with us, that in fact they're often out to make life miserable, if not dangerous for us. I'm speaking of any number of religious groups, but there are many, many groups, Muslims, case in point. I'm thinking right now of a longtime pastor friend in Nigeria who told me a few years ago about one of the times when his church was in danger. There was rioting going on, and some radical Islamists were threatening the city. And he said, we had young men, young Muslim men, surrounding our church, protecting our church as a Christian church. So there are common goals that we need to realize are there, and that not every other religious group wants to destroy anybody who doesn't agree with them.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it's also, as a Christian, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And one of the things that you can do to be a peacemaker is by working with people that you disagree with on really important things. Jesus, when he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, a Samaritan was somebody who didn't believe the things that the ancient Hebrews believed, or that probably even Jesus believed. And yet that Samaritan is the person that Jesus tells his Jewish audience is the person who knows and loves his neighbor. And so that's what we try to do through the International Religious Freedom Roundtable. And it's a model of collaborating and working together that, our voices are stronger together on these things. If you just say, as a Christian organization, if you just say there's this Christian situation in Russia, for instance, where churches are being closed down, then it sounds like you're just working for your own benefit. But having other people come alongside of you from different Christian denominations and non-Christian faith traditions and Christian non-Christian beliefs, it's truly amazing. And that model is getting to work in other places now, which is really exciting.
Well, I won't ask you to name all 29, but what are two or three, four other areas that might be interesting to people to know about?
Well, some of them are really important. There is a Freedom of Religion or Belief roundtable that's taking place in Brussels. That's very important because, of course, the EU has a lot of influence in countries that have very big problems with religious freedom. Various member countries of the EU have former colonies that they remain engaged with. So it's important to have a freedom of religion or belief perspective there. There's a Middle East and North Africa regional IRF roundtable that's taking place in the heart of the Middle East in Bahrain. Of course, I already mentioned the one in Nigeria, which has escalating violence that too often involves religion. And so having people get together there and understand each other's common challenges is really important. And then in other places that you might not think about, Ukraine, for instance, there's a religious freedom roundtable there. And in Taiwan, there's a religious freedom roundtable. Taiwan has really good religious freedom in the country, but they know that their neighbor, mainland China, does not. And so different roundtables work on sort of different issue sets, but they all follow the same model of open dialogue, open discussion, and trying to find coordinated actions and activities they can do together.
Final question, how can our listeners get involved in this sort of thing?
Well, the best way to get involved is to realize that many times the work we do goes through the International Religious Freedom Roundtable. So oftentimes there are petitions that we work on or that other organizations are working on, and we oftentimes highlight those in our Speak Freedom Alert, which comes out every other Tuesday. So if you want to stay informed and active on these issues as they come up, the best way is to go to our website, 21wilberforce.org. Again, 21wilberforce.org. Go to all the way to the bottom of the page and type in your email.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk with you as always. My greetings to everybody there.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Again, Nathan Weiniger, Director of Policy and Coalitions with a great organization based right here in Washington, D.C., and representing all of us so very well in so many different areas of religious freedom and the denials thereof around the world, not just for our own Christian brothers and sisters, but others as well, because another man's freedom being denied threatens mine. I think you would agree. The website's 21wilberforce.org.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. In December 2015, Christian aid worker and Czech native Peter Jacek was arrested in Sudan on charges of espionage. For the first month after arrest, Peter was denied any contact with his family. And when he was finally granted a phone call, it was on the condition that he follow a strict script. This lack of contact made it all the more difficult when Peter's ISIS cellmates demanded he hand over his gold wedding ring. Yet through the trials, Peter clung to the truth that God was watching over his family even while he was away.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To learn more about Peter's story, request your copy of his brand new book, Imprisoned with ISIS, at vomradio.net.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, they do too. So whether you stop by your local Napa Auto Parts store, a Napa Auto Care Center, or visit Napa online, you can count on Napa know-how.
WAVA-FM is heard on HD Radio at 105.1 FM HD1 or on iHeart, TuneIn, and now on radio.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Daly with Focus on the Family. The coronavirus pandemic has made life chaotic and unpredictable for everyone. It's in times like these we search for something we can truly count on. We need a true north. In the current crisis, I believe true north is loving your neighbor as yourself. And we can do that by using our time and talent and resources to help assist someone who is vulnerable or in need. And let's remember, together we'll get through this.
I'm Jonathan McKee, and you're listening to Plugged In.
I should let him have a minute. Doesn't look like he's ever seen snow before.
In the movie The Call of the Wild, which is now available to stream or buy, we meet a St. Bernard named Buck, a rambunctious dog with a penchant for trouble. But trouble finds him when he's dog-napped in California and sold into servitude as an Alaskan sled dog in the 1890s. The Call of the Wild blends CGI animals with live actors, and Harrison Ford stars as Buck's main companion. Their mutual affection forms the film's emotional core. Cautions along the sled route include scary animals, perilous moments, mild profanities, and a character who drinks too much. So we're giving this Alaskan adventure a 3.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Before you rent, stream, or buy, visit PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Jonathan McKee for Focus on the Family's Plugged In.
Business owners and managers can get a free open for business listing at WAVA.com. Click on Shop Local.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. Army National Guard. Aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association and this station.
You know, spring cleaning doesn't just mean the deep clean you do around the house once a year. You may want to do some tidying up for your business's digital marketing. And Salem Surround can help. Whether you're just getting started in the world of digital marketing or already have a plan that's not getting results, we give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into website leads. Salem Surround provides your business with all your marketing needs under one roof. And face it, in 2020, if you're not effectively using digital media, you're behind the competition and losing sales. Salem Surround will help identify any weak points in your marketing strategy and consult with you to bring solutions that will meet your needs and exceed your expectations. Total market saturation for increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundDC.com. SurroundDC.com, connecting you with new customers.
Once again, I want to remind you, we are on the front end of an exciting new campaign with Save the Children. And it's an opportunity for you and me to really make a difference by doing just that, saving the lives of some children. This is a 100-year-old ministry that has been doing the job all over the world. And, of course, right here in America, by the way. Right here in America, did you know every day more than 30 million children are relying on school for their meals, for their food? They eat breakfast or lunch, often both at school. But obviously we know with the school closed and the summer programs shuttered, a lot of families are hurting right now and hard-pressed to keep the children from going hungry. And that's where Save the Children comes in. So it's not simply sending money over there, so to speak, which we happily do, and you do it generously through the years you have. But this is a chance to meet the need right here at home and to step into the gap. So what we're saying is your gift of $100 will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 10 out-of-school children who desperately need our help right now. Got that? $100 gift. Obviously, a $50 gift will do it for five. But a $100 gift will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 10 out-of-school children for an entire day. And so if you want to make a gift, the phone number is toll-free, 888-884-4836. And that's 888-844-4836. Or, of course, as always, we're set up for you online. You can go to WAVA.com, click on the Save the Children banner, and that'll get the job done as well. Wisconsin churches threatened with $1,000 fines if they violate the 50-person service limit. Now, here's the tension point, I think, for a lot of pastors and a lot of churches and church leaders. On the one hand, 99.9% of those in positions of responsibility for a church congregation want to obey the law. They are not into flouting the law and pushing the limits. But on the other hand, there is, and I think rightly so, a real concern among Christian leaders and pastors as to the, it seems, almost enthusiastic willingness on the part of some members of the secular government to step into the role of religious life in America and begin exerting some control with such punishment in the offing for those who disobey. The line between the ages-old, inviolable is the word I want, inviolable line of separation, if you will, from church and state, and this is really, really the issue here. That's been misused and abused to justify other actions on the part of the government. But in this case, it really is, as you know, that amendment is to protect not the government from the church, but to protect the church from the government. And this is a case in which that line, it seems to me, is at least being threatened, if not blurred a bit. Churches in Dane County, Wisconsin, for example, were allegedly threatened last week with $1,000 fines if they held in-person services that are attended by over 50 people or exceed 25% of their building's capacity. Now, in response, dozens of Catholics demonstrated outside of the state capitol in Wisconsin last Friday. However, local officials say they are seeking, quote-unquote, voluntary compliance while under phase one of the county's reopening plan. According to Fox News political reporter Jason Calvey, several priests in the state capital of Madison claimed that the local health officials warned them about a potential fine if they have over 50 people attend services on Pentecost Sunday, or if they exceed capacity limits set by a county stay-at-home order. NBC 15 reported that priest Greg M. of the Diocese of Madison posted a copy of the letter that he'd received on social media, allegedly stating that in the since-removed post, there was fear that government watchers would be present at the services. Now, folks, that's the part to me that is disturbing. I won't say frightening, perhaps, but disturbing. That the government, to enforce its own laws, is now going to start to send watchers into congregations. And again, I work from the premise that 99.9% of religious leaders, Christian leaders in this country, want to obey the law. But on the other hand, we haven't lost our minds, folks. We haven't lost the powers of logic and reason and intelligent thinking. And when you see the conflict, now maybe some of you don't study the news as much as others of us who work in this venue, this field, this world, so to speak, on a regular basis. But I mean, I could stack a pile on one side and the other of contradictory reports coming out of such sources as the WHO, Dr. Fauci, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who argue against their earlier premises, and some of the governors as well, who base their decisions on these less than, let's say, reliable estimations and pilot reports that have since been proven to be so off the mark. So in any event, the letter apparently that the priest referred to says, this week the Diocese of Madison was contacted by the Public Health Madison and Dane County, Public Health Madison and Dane County, and informed that if our churches in Dane County do not comply with the 50-person limit on Section 2 of the Emergency Order Number 3, the individual churches would be fined $1,000 per violation per Section 9 of the order. It was made clear that the government watchers would be present at parishes in order to cite offending churches. The letter explains that the Public Health Madison and county officials contacted a number of Catholic parishes in Dane County to inform them of the 50-person limit and of any violation thereof, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on. You get the point. The larger issue is not just Madison County, but a larger issue is the concern. I won't say fear, but concern some of us have that encroachment occurs and it does the so-called dial, if you will, doesn't return to zero at the end of this, that a new normal of surveillance and control, even implicit control over our religious and church life, might be assumed by some in government. So just a word of concern, that's all. Meanwhile, as the world goes, I mean, as we're all facing this pandemic, as I've often said, there are many parts of the world that they, in a sense, might wish that were the least of their problems. There is persecution as never before. But in addition to that, Christians being denied food aid during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a Christian Post column of a few days ago. And actually, it's a few days ago now. As the world goes through food security and financial crises due to the coronavirus pandemic, disadvantaged Christian communities in Asia, especially in Vietnam and Pakistan, are being hit the hardest as government and aid agencies discriminate against them due to their faith, this according to reports. In the communist country of Vietnam, Southeast Asia, the government is denying food and food aid to more than 100 Christians, including children and the elderly. This according to Open Doors, a great ministry that many of you know and support. You are Christians, and your God shall take care of your family, authorities told 18 Christian families comprising 107 people in North Vietnam. The government is not responsible for your families. A local partner of Open Doors, which was not identified due to security reasons, said they strive to put food on their tables and they consume their rice little by little every day. When they learned that the government's support was coming to their district, they were so happy, only to find out that they were not on the list simply because they are Christians. And as we know, it's tough to be a Christian in places like Vietnam. So I'm just often citing those things as a bit of perspective for whatever we may be challenged with here. There are other Christians, our brothers and sisters, who have that to deal with and more. Keep them in your prayers. And if you want to support them, I can't think of a better ministry to support than Open Doors. While, of course, we're feeding the hungry children here with Save the Children right here on WAVA.
I love golf, and I also stink at golf. I've tried it all, the lessons, the special swing contraptions, the neon brush tees, the funny hats, the putting all of my change in my light golf handicap. My friends would say I have a high talent disadvantage. Hey, it's Ryan, and luckily, while I might be fighting some disadvantages on the golf course, at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're lucky to be able to serve WAVA listeners with a unique advantage. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. And for you, that can mean shorter turnaround times and often a lower rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money on a new home, refinance, or cash out refinance. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. And refinance. Total refinancing charges may be higher over life of loan.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. 844-45-BIBLE.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope comes home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at WatchSalemMedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Lionsgate at WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
Good afternoon. The support is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. BW Parkway in very bad shape for drivers headed northbound. Looks like a possible incident as you are coming over through to the Capitol Beltway. Right now, delays are building very quickly. You'll be all stopped, very little go with jams as you're trying to come from Landover Road and congestion that continues on up through to the Beltway with particular delays as you're approaching Riverdale Road. Also, Southeast Southwest Freeway still sluggish east and west with heavy congestion between the 11th Street Bridge and 14th Street Bridge in both directions. Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your coverage so you only pay for what you need. I'm Taryn Galbraith, the traffic on WAVA.
Clear skies early tonight, then increasing clouds. Tonight's low 57. It'll be mostly cloudy tomorrow with a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high 78. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with a low of 69. Wednesday, we'll have a near-record high temperature. It'll be humid with clouds and sunshine. Caution is advised if you're doing any strenuous activities outside. The high 96. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
He did say it, 96 degrees. Ha! Huh. We just stepped into the month of June. Come on. The Bob Crowe Show on WAVA. One of my favorite guests coming up, Victor Hansen. When I first read a bit of his column, The Doctrine of Media Untruth, I was reminded of a couple of verses of scripture out of the Bible. Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who turn darkness to light and light to darkness, who replace bitter with sweet and sweet with bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." I don't know that Isaiah was writing about modern-day media, but he could have been, in my view. And then the words of Paul came to mind out of Romans. He said, "Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie." Well, in this recent and fascinating column that I just cited, The Doctrine of Media Untruth, my guest says, as a general rule, when the New York Times, Washington Post, National Public Radio, Public Broadcasting Service, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, and CNN begin to parrot a narrative, the truth often is found in simply believing just the opposite. Put another way, the media's truth, in quotes, is a good guide to what is abjectly false. Wow. Well, joining us to talk about it and explain his reasoning behind this, Dr. Victor Davis Hansen. He is the Martin and Illy Anderson Senior Fellow in Classics and Military History at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University. Author of a number of great books, his latest, The Case for Trump. That's available, by the way, at Basic Books at basicbooks.com. Of course, your regular bookstores, Amazon as well. His own website for his private papers is victorhansen.com. Victor, always good to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you for having me, Don.
Before we get to this very meaty, I told the folks the first hour, when I read some of your columns, I have to get online, go to a dictionary, because I love your way. You are truly a wonderful wordsmith. But more to the point of this first question, I need to, or I at least want to get your assessment of the tragedy in Minneapolis, the murder of George Floyd, and the aftermath of mayhem and destruction that's now following. What were your own reactions initially, and what are they now?
Well, I think we were all shocked at the expression on the policeman's face as he put the knee for 8 minutes on George Floyd's neck. It was unnecessary, and it led to his death, obviously. And we were, I think, encouraged that the county attorney and city attorney moved very quickly to charge the officer in question. And then the president ordered a federal civil rights investigation. The state is involved. So the wheels of justice are turning very rapidly. And he'll face justice for that. And I also thought that something's wrong with Minnesota in general, and Minneapolis in particular. It's a blue state, blue state attorney general, blue mayor, liberal police chief. And yet just 4 years ago, an Australian white woman was shot by a black officer. And then 2 years later, a Latino officer shot a black suspect, both whom died. And so they have this high-profile interracial shooting, and something's wrong with a one-party state, as I can attest from California. As far as the tragic protests that turned to looting and arson very quickly, I thought that the Baltimore mayor four or five years ago, Mayor Reynolds, had said that she'd given space for those who wanted to destroy was sort of an outlier. But when I heard the Michigan governor use that exact phrase, I wanted to give people space, and the mayor said that brick and mortar didn't really matter when they burned down the police precinct station, then you get the idea that this is the first riot in my 66 years that I can remember local and state officials either being indifferent to the damage that occurred early on or almost trying to contextualize it or apologize for it. And then when I read that the mayor of New York's daughter was arrested trying to resist police, or that the state attorney general, Keith Ellison, had disseminated Antifa material, and his son, who's a city council member, was tweeting support for Antifa, and the daughter of the governor of Minnesota was reported to reassure people when the National Guard would come and protesters had to make the necessary adjustments. I've never seen any Orwellian situation quite like that. And that's, and now we have all of these cities that are falling apart, and they're all in liberal bastions, and yet the people in control don't seem to be on the side of the small business person that's the lifeblood of their cities. And they're contextualizing or apologizing or appeasing the protesters, looters, arsonists, whatever term we want to use. It's very strange. And I wrote that other article before all this about the media. But when you have the media go full Baghdad Bob style, where a building will be burning and the CNN commentator will say there's no evidence that this is a violent protest, or when another national news person has sort of sidestepped looters as a cross between him and the camera, and he says that this is not violent, it's Orwellian. And so I know it's an election year, and I know that the left is doing to this disaster what they tried to do with Mueller and impeachment and COVID and the economic lockdown. I understand Joe Biden has some problems with the black community, and he's promised a diversity candidate, and he's trying to mine this tragedy, and the Democratic Party is. But it's something that I don't think any of us have quite seen the reaction. We've seen more violent, deadly riots, but we've never seen authorities so indifferent to the terrible toll it's taking on these cities.
And talk before this first break, and then we'll come back to your other article about Antifa, because the president this week's on record as declaring it a terrorist group, officially and formally so, I assume. What will that do, and is it not long overdue, perhaps, that they be identified for who they are? And are they not, many of them, funded from foreign sources, George Soros case in point?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a disconnect here that we get the idea that the oppressed were in need of economic parity, but yet when you looked at the looters, the inner city looters, they were taking Louis Vuitton bags and expensive sneakers. And then when you saw this elite group of Antifa, for the most part, I think you could say white elites, and they were out organizing arson and directing strategic attacks on particular stores, you got the impression they don't want a felony on their record. And if we crack down on them and we start to subpoena their records and find out that they were coordinating via email and the federal mails or whatever cross-state, interstate methodology they were using, they could face conspiracy charges. And as we know from the two sisters who firebombed the policeman, these are elites. These are people with very good jobs, and they sort of masquerade as weekend warriors and social activist protesters. But once they get hit with a felony, a career-ending felony, I think that'll have a lot of deterrence.
We'll take a break, come back, and talk about the column we started with, because it still merits our attention as the doctrine of media untruth. But I did want to get some good insights, as we just did from Victor, on this tragedy that continues to unfold even today. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Everett Helmuth, owner and president of the Passport Automotive Group. During this unique time in our history, we at Passport Auto want you to know that we're considered an essential business and we're open to meet your automotive needs. As you manage taking care of your family during this current situation, we know that your vehicle may play a key role. If you're looking to purchase or service a vehicle, we want to assure you that we're doing everything we can to promote a safe and secure experience. We encourage you to utilize our at-home car buying resources, like viewing our excellent excellent website, having us send you a video walkthrough of the vehicle you're interested in. Purchasing that vehicle online, or if you prefer, we'll bring the entire auto buying experience to the safety of your home or office. Passport sells and services new and certified pre-owned vehicles in the brands you love. BMW, Infiniti, Toyota, Nissan, Mazda, and Mini Cooper. We have 9 convenient locations in Virginia and Maryland. Visit us today at PassportAuto.com. We look forward to working with you and keeping you safe.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
AActionHomeServices.com. Did you know I started as an electrical contractor? That kind of gets lost with our plumbing and AC messages. We do everything you'd expect an electrician would do, including indoor and outdoor lighting, service panels and circuits, switches, plugs, and troubleshooting too. Call to add or update your old light fixtures with modern, efficient LED lighting. 703-922-1900. Problem solved.
Since this whole quarantine thing started, we've gotten the chance to chat with around 2,000 of you radio listeners. And here's what we've heard. You wouldn't believe how many puzzles we've done. Who would have thought family driveway tennis could be so much fun? And I'm pretty sure I've watched over 100 episodes of Seinfeld. The other thing we've seen is families across the country doing major work on their homes. Dream basements, backyard makeovers, swimming pools, or shelves, and more shelves for organization. The home is officially a bigger deal than ever. And the cool thing is, for many of us, home values have gone up the last few years, meaning you could have equity sitting in your home that you could cash out to put in, say, the greatest driveway tennis court of all time. If that's you, our Faith and Family Mortgage team has a direct lender advantage, and we'd love to help. We are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees, up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. In refinance, total refinancing charges may be higher over life of loan.
Life is full of frustrations. Some are big, some not so big. And it's easy to get angry in the wake of rejection, hurt, or embarrassment. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Gary Chapman shares how you can control your anger and use it as motivation for positive change. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Monday at 4:30 a.m., 7 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 8:30 p.m. on WAVA.
Continuing our conversation with Victor Hansen, his column that I'm citing is from AmericanGreatness.com, The Doctrine of Media Untruth. And as I quoted earlier, put another way, the media's truth, in quotes, is a good guide to what's abjectly false. And Victor, you juxtapose two excellent cases, I think, that of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo versus his counterpart in Florida, Ron DeSantis, as making your case on this point that really, if you want to believe the media's reports, just reverse what they're saying, basically, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at the media coverage of Governor Cuomo, you think he would be an adroit, skillful state executive. But when you actually look at the data, the state of New York has had more deaths per million than any nation, major nation in the world, and of course more than any state. And even out here in California, that's mismanaged, it has half of our population. It's got about six times the number of deaths. So it's been an ungodly disaster characterized by the governor sending, you know, infected people into very vulnerable populations in long-term care homes, as well as, you know, sort of losing his temper and becoming frenetic and demanding ventilators and tent hospitals and hospital ships and then not needing them and misallocating resources and being very unsteady. And yet somehow he's transmogrified into being a sober and judicious executive. We're here as Governor DeSantis has just very quietly decided that Florida is a very diverse state, as is New York, and he's going to have local solutions. Some places are going to be locked down, some aren't, and he's balancing the economy versus the threat to public health from the virus. And Florida's got about 1.5 million people more than New York, but its case rate, its death rate per those infected or per the 1 million population, just a fraction of what New York, and yet the media somehow tried to demonize him as some conservative Republican who's threatening the country's health. And this is all juxtaposed now in retrospect, Don, and this kind of paradox where the blue states and the media believe that if you go out and burn something without a mask or you destroy or protest without a mask, it's not a public health threat. But just 2 weeks ago, if you went out to start your business and create something to provide revenue for the federal treasury and you had a mask on, then you were somehow a public enemy. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. This whole catastrophe is very depressing when you look at the health and the prognosis for America. Because we've got some very strange people in charge of large swaths of our public policy at state and local government.
And, of course, that compounded, as you've pointed out here, by a totally compromised media. There is really none of the mainstream media that you can consistently rely upon to tell the truth of the matter. But invariably, they write from and report from a political agenda. They have a visceral, really a visceral hate for this president, and they've been totally co-opted, it seems to me, by the liberal left. Is that saying it too extremely?
No, I think it's understating. I think they have fused with the Democratic progressive agenda, and it's not just you or I saying that. Remember, the New York Times' Jim Rutenberg wrote a column by saying that the old rules of disinterested journalism no longer apply in the age of Trump. You have to be biased. So did Christiane Amanpour at CNN, that you just can't report neutrally on Trump. I think the same was true of the people at Univision. Jorge Ramos said, I just can't be unbiased. Trump is so bad, I have to be an advocate, a partisan. He said that. I think they haven't been shy about that. They feel that their noble ends justify any means necessary to destroy Trump, and they're not at all sorry. They show no remorse with these crazy walls are closing in, bombshell, supposed disclosure that any day Mueller was going to indict Donald Trump, that he was clearly guilty of Russian collusion. When the whole thing blew up, as almost a pathetic coup attempt by the Obama administration leftovers during the transition, that they were trying to remove a president. They have no contrition. They don't apologize. They just move on to impeachment, and they moved on to COVID, and they moved on to the lockdown, and now they've moved on to the protests. And they just can't allow Donald Trump to finish his constitutionally elected term, and they can't allow him to have a fair shot at putting his case before the people for reelection. And they feel that they're not going to allow that to happen.
And then you give us a litany of people that they have cut a lot of slack for, if not totally inverted the truth of the matter. The gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, Stacey Adams, Michael Avenatti, Bob Mueller, Adam Schiff, and then what they did contra to Devin Nunes, etc. Comment on that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, very quickly, I read the Washington Post puff piece on Stacey Abrams. When I got done, I would have thought that she was part Elizabeth Taylor and part Madame Curie. And yet when I went back, and I didn't know much about her, I found out till recently she'd owed $250,000 in credit card and IRS debt. She'd never been elected to a statewide office. And she was still complaining about a transparent election that she lost by 50,000 votes. And then when I looked at Adam Schiff, I realized that for a year he systematically lied and said, my team has had no contact with the whistleblower. They had all the time. They cooked it up with him. And they had testimonies from Brennan and Clapper and McCabe and Comey that they knew were accurate because they were under oath, and they were exactly opposite of what these characters were saying to the media. They were saying to the media, we know that Trump is guilty of collusion under oath to Schiff's committee. They were not. Schiff knew that, and yet he suppressed the information. And so, yeah, it's and then the Schiff memo was completely fraudulent, and they ran with that and damned Devin Nunes, and we found out that a Democratic inspector general confirmed all of the major arguments in the Nunes memo and rejected all of those in the Schiff memo. And then Robert Mueller, we thought he was a god. They thought he was, I don't know who, but cross between Lincoln and FDR or somebody. And he came into the with the Dream Team, the All-Stars. They were incompetent. They were partisan. They found nothing after 22 months. It was a complete waste of time. And then he testified before Congress. He didn't even know what the Steele dossier or Fusion GPS was, the source of the entire Russian hoax. And he seemed like he was almost in a Joe Biden state of enfeebleness, mentally addled. And yet we have been told that this guy was a pillar of the Washington establishment. And I could go on, but it's very depressing to see this media and this culture and this elite just deliberately fabricate and invent things because they feel that they have an anointed agenda, that we and we deplorables and irredeemables and scum or dregs, as Joe Biden called us, or clingers, just can't get it without their help. And so they feel they have a license to, you know, fabricate things.
In this last moment, nowhere, you say, has the doctrine of media untruth been more helpful than in following Trump during the coronavirus epidemic. I mean, they have been brutal on some of his statements, but take a moment to tell us about your thoughts there.
Well, you know, it's very strange because they just hated the travel ban, and now you can't find anybody who said, oh, I wish Trump had not issued that travel ban.
Yep.
And then they said that he was a quack and he had no business talking about hydroxychloroquine, and now we're starting to get the first blind studies coming out that it has the efficacy, like he said. And then we were told that how dare he compare COVID to the flu and that it's going to be a million or a half million. And we don't know how many will eventually tragically die, but it does look more and more like a 1957 or 1968 flu season, not a catastrophic 2 to 3% of every 100 infected dying. So if he's erred in any fashion, he's tried to be fair to the deep state bureaucratic medical establishment and to the left, and gone halfway. And in retrospect, he probably shouldn't have gone halfway. He should have trusted his instincts and his own advisors. But he wanted to be magnanimous. And I think in some ways that allowed for this lockdown to continue far beyond what was necessary.
We need to talk again. Thank you, my friend, very much for what you write and the chance to talk with you about it. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Again, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson. His website is his name, victorhanson.com. And anything he writes is provocative and insightful. And as I said at the outset, often may make you go to the dictionary, but I love his way with words. And they have content and meat, if you will. That's it for today. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Hear 105.1 FM WAVA wherever you are on our mobile app or on iHeart, TuneIn, and now on radio.com.
You know, spring cleaning doesn't just mean the deep clean you do around the house once a year. You may want to do some tidying up for your business's digital marketing, and Salem Surround can help. Whether you're just getting started in the world of digital marketing or already have a plan that's not getting results, we give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into website leads. Salem Surround provides your business with all your marketing needs under one roof. And face it, in 2020, if you're not effectively using digital media, you're behind the competition and losing sales. Salem Surround will help identify any weak points in your marketing strategy and consult with you to bring solutions that will meet your needs and exceed your expectations. Total market saturation for increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at surrounddc.com. Surrounddc.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Digital marketing is a big part of just about every business. It's everywhere. Is your business using it to your advantage? Are you receiving your share of the leads? If you're not effectively using digital media, you could be losing sales by the second. Even worse, your customers can be grabbed up one by one, never to return.
Not sure if you're losing out to the competition? Salem Surround can help you. We give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into leads. Salem Surround is a full-service digital agency providing you with all your marketing under one roof. Total market penetration for increased return on investment. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your digital presence and to learn more how we can help you place your advertising message in front of today's digital consumers. Salem Surround helps deliver customers by putting your business message in front of the right person at the right time. Learn more at surrounddc.com. Surrounddc.com, connecting you with new customers.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
ActionHomeServices.com, plumbing, electrical, heating, and air, serving D.C., Maryland, and Virginia daily, 703-922-1900.
For those who love contemporary Christian music, CCM Magazine is a must-read. Explore the latest redemptive music and the culture it impacts by starting your subscription today. Visit CCMMagazine.com.
Listen to Pathway to Victory with Robert Jeffress, weeknights at 7 here on 105.1 FM WAVA.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing. WAVA.